Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, June 26th, 2016. This is episode 1,300. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code TECHGUY for 30% off your entire order. TheTracker.com. And by Adobe Marketing Cloud, introducing audio white papers for marketing. White papers read aloud to keep you up to date with the latest trends and technologies. Listen today by searching Audio White Papers for Marketing on iTunes or visit Adobe.com for more information. And by Atlassian, unleash your team's potential with collaborative software tools like HipChat and Jira that'll enable you to work and communicate better together. Visit Atlassian.com to learn more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and ham radio and virtual reality headsets and birds and what? Birds? Oh, my friend Mitch Waite sent me a bunch of bird guides. I think he was grateful. We interviewed him about his very good iPhone app called iBird. And he sent me like 20 books about birding. Wow. I guess I have to become a birder now. 88. We'll talk about birding, at least as it applies to technology. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can call collect. No. You don't accept collect calls? Oh, never mind. Don't call collect. Kim Schaffer is going, no. No, don't call collect. Do you ever get calls from prisoners? Because I think they have to call collect.
They do have to call collect. I was going to say, what do you want the prisoners to call me?
No, I'm just wondering. I don't know if they're even listening.
I've gotten calls at prior radio
stations where the prisoners
call.
Yeah. I have a collect call here from San Quentin. Yeah.
So far, I haven't got one here.
Okay. I get occasion. I get letters. Yeah. I'm not discriminating. I get letters. That's fine. If you're not a prisoner, but you are outside the U.S. and Canada, which is kind of the same thing, right? No, just kidding. Kidding. You can call us via Skype. Don't call collect. Use Skype or some other voice over the internet. If you use Skype out, it's free because it's a toll-free number in the U.S. I think that's how it works. We have a website that's also toll-free from anywhere in the world. Just visit it, techguylabs.com. And, you know, we put the audio and the video of the show up after the show. We want you to listen on the radio, but if you can't after the show, you can, you know, you're traveling or whatever, you can hear it on the internet. And that's free also, no sign up or anything. TechGuyLabs.com. It's also where you'll find all the details, the links, the show notes, the things that I mention. Because I know, you know, you're driving in the car and it's hard to write this stuff down. So we'll put James DeRuvo's writing right now. We'll put it all there. TechGuyLabs.com, 8888 Ask Leo. Oh, one more thing, the chat room. If you're at home and you have a hankering to kind of be in the virtual audience, we have a studio audience, which is nice, but there's only about four or five people can be in this studio. But thousands can join us on the internet via... Oh, the phones are ringing.
Oh, we're just testing them.
Oh, you know, they give me this fancy phone system and they say, you're the tech guy, you should know what to do. And I have no idea. I think I got it. Okay, I think I've muted that. hey, it's ringing. They're working. That worked. But I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah, the chat room. You could be part of the virtual audience at irc.twit.tv. You can go there via a web browser or use your IRC client. irc.twit.tv. Well, let's see. What's the big news? Well, Apple's going to take the headphone jack out of the new iPhone, according to rumors. That's weird. Motorola has already done it with the, well, it's not out yet, but it will be out soon, the Moto Z. No headphone jack. I think Motorola's idea is, well, use one of our fabulous Bluetooth headsets, because there are, they make them. But that's not good for music. Well, they, I guess they make Bluetooth headphones, too, that have music. But that, it's a terrible solution. And I, you know, I don't understand why Apple would do the same thing. I guess they want to sell you another lightning connector, this time for headphones. Because that's where, I guess that's where the audio will come out, is at a lightning port. I'm really curious. I wonder if this is going to, this will be a litmus test for the Apple devotees. Yeah, how serious are you about your iPhone? Are you, do you love your Apple universe, your Apple ecosystem, and your iPhone so much that you're willing to say, I don't need headphones. I don't need a headphone jack. I'll buy a fancy Apple dongle. Ah, boy, I know iPhone people are very devoted. And that sometimes you have to use an iPhone. I was just playing with, you know, my hearing aids have, because after years in radio, I'm deaf. Yeah, no kidding, because you wear headphones and you turn them up and it's a vicious cycle. You turn them up louder and then you can't hear it very well, so you turn up louder. Pretty soon, you know, it's this deafening screech coming into your head. So I got some Starkey Halos, which are supposed to be the state-of-the-art, you know, technology. And they work really well with an iPhone, and they don't work at all. They won't even work at all with my new Android phone. They say, no, sorry, it's not compatible. And it's kind of cool with the iPhone. You could say, well, if I'm in this location and uses GPS, set the equalization like this. So if you, there's a restaurant you go to a lot, and if there's background noise, and you want it to, you know, adjust the hearing aid settings so the background noise doesn't make it impossible to hear your companion. You could do that. You could fiddle around with it till you get it just right on your iPhone and then say, remember that. And next time you're in the restaurant, it will automatically do that. That's cool. The main reason I want to do it is because then I can listen to my audiobooks and my hearing aids and nobody knows that, you know, while I'm talking to them, I might have a slightly glazed expression. It's because I'm not listening. I'm listening to that in the audiobook. It's great. You can walk around. It's like when I was a kid. The only way you could hear the World Series if you were in school, right, is you bring a transistor radio and you sneak a wire up out through your shirt up into your ear and you hope the teacher wouldn't notice that you had a little earplug in there while you're listening to the ball game. And, of course, somebody hit a home run and you'd leap to your feet and then give yourself away. Well, this is kind of like that. I can listen to the ball game all the time. No one knows. They just think, well, he's a little hard of hearing. I guess he's not. That works so good. Let's see. What else can we talk about? Brexit. I don't know if there's anything to say about this from a technology point of view. Clearly, the world of markets are not happy about Britain leaving the European Union. But I guess it would make a difference to some technology companies. As it is right now, if you're Apple, for instance, and you want to sell into China, you have to make a deal with China, a tariff deal. You could probably piggyback on whatever deals the United States has. In fact, in China and in India, too, they're very strict. India, Apple had to get permission to open a store, for instance, from the Indian government. And they wanted, Apple wanted to sell used iPhones into the Indian market, big market, billions of people. And the Indian government said, no, you can't do that. You can't sell used iPhones in India. Sorry. So it does affect tech companies having to deal with various governmental regulations. The nice thing about the EU was that was all one block. It was like all these 28 countries, you just dealt with them, you know, as one. You go to Brussels and you make the deal. And admittedly, the EU has been kind of tough on American companies. They've sued Google for privacy violations and for monopoly. You know, Google's more of a monopoly in Europe than it is in the U.S. Google search is only about 70% of all searches in the U.S. It's about 90% in Europe. So they've been held to a higher standard. So, of course, very famously, the European Union that's required Google offered the right to be forgotten. This is so nutty. Even our Congress couldn't have come up with this one. In Europe, you have the right to send a note to Google saying, you know, I did some things when I was a young person, and I'm embarrassed now, and I would prefer that people not be able to find them with Google search. Would you mind removing that from your search? And they have to. They have to. And I think this is really terrible because it's basically editing history. And I don't think that's Google's job. Google's a search index that's supposed to show everything that's on the web. This, by the way, doesn't take the website down that has that embarrassing article about you as a kid. It just means that people can't find it on Google. Google's responsible, not the website with the article. Terrible, terrible thing. But there's the EU for you. And I guess in some ways, this is a good thing for Google. In Britain, they won't have to worry about it anymore. So I don't know yet what to say. I don't know. Hey, I think it's time for us to talk. I've got the phones. They're lit up here. 888-ASK-LEO. Let's go to the phones and talk tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, look at this. He sent me Field Guide to Birds Western Region, Field Guide to Birds Eastern Region. He gave it away? He didn't charge him? No, he gave him a discount.
No, it's free. Oh, I thought it was free.
I don't know.
I used the code. I got a code.
And it was free?
I haven't used it. I'm going to use it right now.
Try it. See what happens.
Chris Marquardt. Not Chris Marquardt. Pre-record is already loaded.
Okay. And then, of course, Johnny Jett in 15 minutes. Yeah.
So, Michael, if he pulls up the Johnny Cash for the
11:30. Oh, Michael, Johnny Cash... I've been everywhere, man, at 11:30, because we've got a special visit. Nice, thank you. I'm going to get a bookshelf. This pile of books is getting a little out of hand. And then I'm going to have fewer bookshelves in the new place, right, or no? I think actually I may have more going down that way. And that wall isn't a window anymore, so good. Although we want to make that a green screen. I can't remember what we're going to do there.
The other side, the opposite end of your room.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. This side.
Yeah.
What will be there? Green screen?
Potentially.
That could be the flash cam set.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? It wouldn't be bad to have bookshelves there for the flash cam set. That would look nice too. Pull down green screen. Yeah. I think there's enough room for that.
Probably.
And a sofa for our visitors. That's why we should keep the Dr. Evil chair. So for the visitors, because I don't know. I guess I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Like where we put all this stuff. Oh, the Google Doodle features birder Phoebe Snetzinger. What?
Who?
Phoebe Snetzinger. Don't come on.
Phoebe Snetzinger? Am I supposed to know this person?
Apparently. I don't see any Phoebe Snetzinger here. Oh, this is nice that they have a little pride thing. Be who you are, love who you love. That's nice. Pride for everyone. Well, let's see the B.B. Snetzinger Google Doodle. Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. It would have been her 85th birthday. June 9th. Phoebe Snetzinger.
I still have no idea who that is.
No, I don't either. But see, that's the point. Is you go to Google, you see this, and you go... What? Is it interactive? No, but you could click on it and you'd get Phoebe Snetzinger's birthday. There's a black Bernian warbler, a red-shouldered vanga, a village weaver bird, eastern bluebird, and a red-capped manakin. Just in case. I know that because I have Peterson's guide. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Kim Schaffer is here to answer the phones. What are we going to do? The new studio, we're going to move in a couple of months. 6 weeks, I think. Something like that.
No,
7 weeks.
I'm going to be hidden in a closet.
I'm not going to be able to see you anymore. I'll have a camera on you, though, so I can spy on you.
Do I get to watch you, too? Or do I?
Yeah, of course. Okay. You'll have a camera on me.
Okay.
It's kind of a weird way to do it. It's
it
like,
is.
Yeah, be like in a submarine or something.
It lacks the human interaction.
Nah, who needs you? You know what? Basically, this whole radio thing's about lacking human interaction. We're just sealed into a room. You've seen radio people who do the whole show with their eyes closed, haven't you?
No.
No.
I have seen a particular radio host whose back is towards his...
call screener, producer.
Board op and,
yeah,
and
he doesn't
producer.
Want to see anybody. Yeah.
But it's... No, it's...
We're very shy. We're like birds.
My proposal was a plexiglass box, like, in the corner
in the
of your
corner?
Office.
Like a soundproof booth?
Yeah, soundproof booth. for Roz.
That's an interesting idea, but I don't actually. Where are we putting you? We're putting you in the.
I don't know.
In the, okay.
You haven't told me. You just told me I don't have a button anymore.
Put her in the main studio, right?
Producer space next to the TV.
There's a producer's space next to the technical director.
Oh.
And you'll be sitting there.
Okay.
All alone in the studio.
All alone.
All alone. That's so sad.
Well, I'm all alone.
And I don't even get to press my own button. That's sad, too.
Yeah. He won't be able to wave at me. Although I'll have a camera, right? She'll have the camera, so I can you can wave.
There's going to be some kind of delay, right? No, that's pretty.
No, the cameras are live. Yeah. Anyway, nobody cares about this, but
nobody
you know,
cares.
It's kind of behind the scenes, kind of like a peek behind the curtain at how radio works, which is so uninteresting. Except if you're in radio,
don't you? Okay, but before you got into radio, didn't you think there was this mystique? And
yeah,
so,
that's why we don't want to go behind the curtain, because
yeah,
it's not. It's kind of
you don't want to let anybody behind the curtain, because everybody thinks it's
kind of
so
sad.
Cool, and then they walk in and they're like,
it's really a sad,
not
sad,
as
lonely.
Exciting as I thought
lonely
it was.
Occupation is terrible.
Yeah. It is. It's truly for the introverts.
I remember as a kid, in San Francisco, the old powerhouse station in San Francisco, KGO.
Yeah,
which is no
station.
Longer really, but anyway, they used to have a studio on Market Street and really thick bulletproof glass, and you could small little porthole, and you could peer through the window at the guy doing the stuff. And I remember as a kid, maybe like 14, pressing my nose against the glass
because it was fascinating,
and staring at the guy, and you know, you see this guy, it was the guy doing the sports, and he looked like a normal person until he opened his mouth. And then he sounded like a sports guy. And I thought, how does he do that? And the rest is history.
And then you learned how to do that.
And then you
put on your big radio voice.
Yes. Hey, have you been, more importantly, have you been answering the phones?
I think we're a little bit punchy today.
Aren't we?
I think we are.
Why are we
punchy? I
know I am. I am, definitely. But why? Oh, I know why. The last episode of Game of Thrones is tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's not why I'm punchy.
No. it's a trending topic on Twitter. People are, like, going crazy. More successful, the Game of Thrones on HBO, more successful than The Sopranos. It's the most watched show HBO's ever had. And they expect a fairly large audience tonight. I can't remember what the number is, but many, many millions of people to see what happens as the season ends. You don't care at all? Do you watch the show?
No, I watched a couple episodes of the first season, but I have ADD. I can't sit still and watch
it. It's
anything.
A very challenging show. In fact, there's a whole Wikipedia on the Game of Thrones. There's actually iPad apps too to help you keep track. So when somebody comes on screen and you go, as I often do, wait, who's that? You can hit the button and it'll say, oh. That's King Grendel's third son. He's been off in Westeros for the last 17 years, but he flew the great Isle of Confusion and is now here to challenge the army of the Unsullied against the Unborn.
I think I saw like a gruesome beheading or something.
Yeah, I think
or somebody
that
getting
too.
Burned, and I fell off. Yeah. I couldn't watch it anymore.
Yeah. Let's change the subject. Let's talk tech. What a novel idea. Who should I start with?
Brandon wants to know if he can recover a very important text conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting question. Hi, Brandon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi there.
From Redlands, California. Hi, Brandon.
Hi there. I have a question for you in regards to a text conversation between me and a real estate agent. And me and some previous homeowners that
and you'd like to hold their feet to the fire saying, you said this, I have it right here, but you deleted those texts.
Yeah.
And what kind of phone?
It's an iPhone 5S.
Okay.
I believe.
Your carrier almost certainly has a record of it, and you could go to your carrier and ask for a copy of it. Once you've deleted it from the iPhone itself, I don't think there's any way to recover it from the iPhone. There are ways. If it's on the iPhone right now, there are lots of ways to get it off the iPhone. I've recommended and I continue to recommend a program from somebody called Ecamm, E-C-A-M-M. I think it's .com. Let me check real quickly. They make a phone kind of interface for your computer called PhoneView that will let you drag and drop, copy your text messages from your iPhone to your desktop. If you used Apple's messages, which you almost certainly did, unless you were using WhatsApp or something else, open the Messages app on your desktop. It might still be there. Sometimes I've had that happen. You delete it on the phone, but it still persists in the Messages app. Because the nice thing about Apple's messages is that you can use it on the computer. It has to be a Mac. Or on your phone or on your tablet. And one message to any of those will be duplicated everywhere. So that's another possibility. You could have deleted it locally, but it might still persist on the computer. If it's been a while, though, generally speaking, I think it's probably gone. The only person who might have a record of it is your carrier. And there's this, I say might for a couple of reasons. One, Apple's messages. Once again, Apple's done something very strange with messages. Carriers don't like this. You know, normally when you send a text message, you're sending a SMS, short message service. That SMS is weird. It's not data. It's not treated as data. It actually travels over your phone carrier's voice network. That's why they charge so much for it. Well, they charge so much for it because they get so much for it. That's basically why. And so WhatsApp, for instance, just bypasses that. It's one of the reasons WhatsApp's so popular around the world is because carriers charge so much for SMS. WhatsApp uses your data plan. iMessages, Apple's messaging tool, which is the only way you can get and send and receive SMSs on the iPhone, is a hybrid. It does both. But it prefers data. And if it uses data, your carrier will have no record of it. Your carrier will only have a record of it if you used SMS. Oy. That's probably the case because unless... Now, if you're sending to an iPhone, it always uses data. It only uses SMS when you're sending to a non-iPhone, somebody else who's not on messages. Another point, if iCloud backup was on, PC Tech reminds me in the chat room, it could be backed up there, too. So log on to your iCloud account, your Apple account, and see if it's there. Those are your best bets. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, if you have an is your real estate agent a green or a blue bubble? If it's a green bubble, there's hope that your carrier would have it. If it's a blue bubble, there's hope that Apple has it. You might also check any backups. Hey, I want to show you. Let me get my keys. Where'd my keys go? Oh, I know. I'll just look on my tracker. I know where my keys are at all times. They're right here. There's my keys. And you know how I know? Because I got the tracker on them. I can never lose them. And boy, as somebody who used to lose keys all the time, this is a boon. Let me show you. This is the latest tracker, which I really like. It's anodized aluminum. Very thin, very light. You see, I put it on my keychain, but see what I do? I'm clever. Although I could just get two trackers, I guess. I hook my keychain to my bag. So if I lose my tracker or my keychain, it's there. Now that I run the tracker software and I know exactly where my tracker is, and by virtue of that, know exactly where my keys are. Or my pets or my remote controls or whatever you lose, the tracker can find it. Go to thetracker, thetracker.com, and check it out. If you use the promo code TECHGUY, you're going to get a great deal. This is the new Tracker Bravo, which I just showed you, which is just gorgeous. Works with iPhone or Android, and it works great. You lose your phone, you press the button on the tracker, your phone rings. So it does double duty. Lose your keys, you look on your phone, and you'll see a map of where your keys are. Customize two-way separation alerts so you can get notifications before you leave your item behind. I love that. Now, it's using Bluetooth Low Energy. That means the battery lasts a year. It's not a rechargeable. It actually lasts a year, and it's easy to put a new battery in after a year. You can also get a water-resistant case. I got one of those because I think I want to put the tracker on Ozzy, too. So I'll never lose my doggy again. This is the water-resistant sleeve that goes over the tracker. And it's lightweight, so it's not going to bother your pet. And here's the best part. They have the largest crowd GPS network in the world. Tracker uses everybody's tracker to find your device. So this is all the trackers, 1.5 million trackers U.S.-wide. And if an item goes missing, of course, because it's Bluetooth, you know, you only have a 30-meter, 150-foot range before it's going to lose your phone's going to lose track of your keys or your tracker. But here's the beauty part. Whenever anybody comes within 100 feet of your device, any tracker user, their tracker software will note it and send you a GPS update where your item is. So this is really cool. They just introduced the new Tracker Atlas, which works with the Tracker Bravo or third-party Bluetooth tracker to pinpoint items on your home. Like, you could customize the floor plan of your house. So now if you leave your keys in the couch, you'll know exactly where they are. You save time and energy. Just ask Tracker Atlas where your item is, and you'll get an answer instantly. No need to search. Just go right to your missing device. I like it. They offer a carabiner, too. I should probably get that, and then just hook it onto my case. Here's the deal. Go to THETRACKR.com. Use the promo code TECHGUY. You'll get 30% off your entire tracker order. You'll never lose anything again. TheTracker.com, promo code TECHGUY for 30% off your entire order. The Tracker!
Johnny Jet.
Johnny Jet. What the what? What are you doing here, Johnny?
It's really dark.
It's all right. It's radio. Nobody knows. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been watching your pictures and your
you see that?
Instagrams.
See my view?
You shouldn't bring your lady on a plane too much longer, you know. Oh, man.
Not too shabby.
Oh, man. Where are you? Hawaii?
You got it.
What island are you on?
Right now we're on Oahu.
Oahu? Here for long. And then where are you going?
Secret.
Secret. Is it in the island chain?
Yes, it's in the island chain.
Oh, so there aren't that many choices. I've only been to Maui.
I think we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I know.
And that really surprises me.
I want to go to Kauai because that's the jungle
garden island.
The garden island. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
jungle.
Beautiful.
Where do you recommend?
It all depends. They're all really different, actually. So Oahu is more for people. I mean,
it's
all kinds
it's
of
Waikiki.
Restaurants.
It's a
city.
It's a big, exactly. Big city.
Some people hate Oahu. I actually love Oahu.
Well, that's where the Pearl Harbor Memorial is, right?
Yep.
Look at that. Thank you, sir.
We flew over it yesterday. The Big Island. When you land in Oahu, if you're on the left side of the plane, look out at the harbor, and you can always spot Pearl Harbor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where else do you like? Now, one of my favorite places, and I can't say I've been to a lot of places. I've only been to Maui twice. But we love the Travassa Resort in Hana on Maui.
Yes.
You've been there, I know.
No, actually, I haven't. Oh. My buddy, who I was telling you about with
the Post Ranch Inn.
Point, he owned that hotel before it was Travassa. It was a Hana hotel. But I've actually never been there. And right now, we're at the new Four Seasons Oahu, which just opened up.
We tried, Lisa and I tried to get married there.
At Travassa?
Yeah, because we weren't married yet. And
what'd they say?
They kind of started to go through the motions, and we actually talked to the minister or something there, and he said, well, but do you have a license? And we said, no, we just want to get married. He said, oh, no, bro, we can't do that.
So you need to have a marriage license first?
Yeah.
And so this is just like a...
We just thought, there must be... Legal. Do they
it's
do tourist
legal.
A tourist ceremony?
Yeah.
Some places will do that.
I'm surprised they did not.
I know. Big opportunity.
Big time.
Yeah. No, bro. Can't
money.
Do that, bro. he was funny. They were very serious. Oh, no, that's serious. You can't do that.
All right.
Although, I was just at Knott's Berry Farm. And in there, you can go see Judge Roy Bean. And for $15, they've got something called Hitchin's. I said, what's a Hitchin?
Yeah, what is a Hitchin?
He said, it's a marrying. I'm marrying you guys. He says, is it legal? He said, no, we just give you a piece of paper, but it's a Hitchin. He said, but I'm not allowed to do those anymore. We're moving down to the general store. I said, okay, fine.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, how did you like Pelican Hill?
Really expensive and kind of one of those places where... it's kind of ostentatious,
yeah.
Without being like really great.
Like, everyone's got like Maseratis and
oh my god, it's just like rich people showing off. It's very conspicuous consumption. We got a villa, which was nice,
right?
But it was weird. Like there were no drawers. The television was like in a corner. It was like designed by a robot.
Huh.
And then. The restaurant there was There's one fancy one. I can't remember the name of it. The Italian one's very, very nice. Yep. And then there's the one casual one. It was terrible. Huh. All right, here we go. He's been everywhere, man. He's Johnny Jett, our travel guru. He goes all over the place to save you money and use technology. This portion of the Johnny Jett program brought to you by the revolutionary new Epson Eco Tank Printers. Cartridge-free printing, years of ink in the box. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. Epson, exceed your vision. Normally, Johnny joins us on Saturdays, but because of his travel plans, he often ends up on Sundays, which I love because it's a great chance to see Johnny Jett more often. Johnny, where are you?
I'm in Oahu, on Hawaii, on the island of Oahu.
Look at you with your seasons. With your puka shell beads and your beautiful Hawaiian shirt. You are dressed for the occasion.
Thank you. My wife hates this shirt, but I love it.
What? Natalie hates that shirt?
Because I've had it forever. It's like it's a little ratty shirt.
No, it's beautiful. But is it a Tommy Bahama?
It's actually Banana Republic from 30 years ago.
Oh. Yeah, I love Hawaiian shirts. I have a whole collection of them.
I stole it from my dad's closet.
Okay.
Anyway.
Won't tell Dad.
I heard you guys talking about the Brexit, by the way. I don't know if you want.
How is that going to change travel to the UK? Now, it's not, by the way, it could take as long as 2 years. So this is we're going to be in the UK in September. It won't affect us,
not at all.
But at some point, will we have to have
it's going to be cheaper. There's a good chance it's going to be cheaper. Right now, it's 10% cheaper in the UK, which is great for American travelers.
Oh, good. Because the pound crashed.
Effects, yeah. Well, but the long term effects is that a lot of the low fare carriers like Ryanair and EasyJet, they're based out of UK, and they offer these crazy fares, like $9 sometimes between the UK and Europe, and that could change because of the laws, because they're not in the EU. So we'll see. That won't happen for a while, obviously, but that could be a long-term effect.
Yeah, and I guess you'd have to – so normally travel within the EU nation states is just like travel in the United States. You don't need a passport. You know, you just – the borders are wide open. Britain, you always had to have pounds, so that didn't change anything. But it meant you could go in and out of Britain. Once you were in Europe, you can go in and out of Britain without going through passport control. You just like going from California to Nevada. We just, boom, right over the border. So that will change, I guess.
Yep. We'll see. I mean, it's an interesting time, obviously.
Yeah. It's that's the real thing, is the uncertainty. Like, well, what does this mean?
But yeah, but if you're traveling there soon, you know you're.
I won't have a problem.
You're gonna save some money.
We're sailing there because we're doing a Baltic cruise, so we're gonna end up in Southampton, which is their southern seaport.
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times.
And then I guess take a train or a bus to London and fly out of Heathrow.
That was the last stop for the Titanic.
Oh, great! Thanks, Johnny. Yep. Last stop for the Titanic.
Yes. Sure, but although the Titanic Museum is in Northern Ireland,
ooh,
and that's because they built it there. Yeah. I don't know why they want to, have that claim.
Actually, I've been to Titanic Museum. It's amazing. I mean, the China and the silver, it's tragic and sad, but at the same time, fascinating, I think.
It's beautiful. But while you're in Southampton, make sure you don't just, drive right to the airport. Walk around Southampton, check out some of the statues.
Oh, I will.
There's a lot about the Titanic passengers. Oh. It's pretty sad.
Oh, okay. I will. Thank you for the tip on
that.
Yeah.
Enlightening. Anyway, so speaking of sad, I got an app that's not going to save travelers money or make it smoother for you, but it actually could help children from sex trafficking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's called Traffic Cam, and you add a K to the word traffic. And I've just been reading a lot about it lately. You know, I have no idea. That over 300,000 American children are victims worldwide, around the world, and actually it's 1.2 million worldwide, 300,000 American, and they're all between ages of 12 and 14. Yeah. But so this app is asking travelers to take 4 photos of your hotel room from different angles, one from the foot of the bed, one from the base of the bathroom, because I guess for trafficking, they take photos of these kids on beds. And if they have a library, they can identify, and they have in the past, of either, the furniture, the patterns of the carpet, the room accessories.
So this would even be in the U.S. is that you should do this.
300,000 American children a year.
Terrible.
It's insane. I was just reading about it. This is from UNICEF, this part. But this app is from an organization called Exchange Initiative. along with a Washington University researcher.
This is brilliant. And, of course, with computer technology and image recognition technology now, if they've got the data, they can do amazing things. So I'll start doing this. TRAFFICKCAM, trafficcam.org.
So when you upload it, you have to put your name of the hotel, the room number. So I'll do that.
Hotels would just do this to kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But again, I mean, I don't know if it's going to stop them because, you know, they'll stop taking pictures of kids in hotel rooms. But
maybe they're not, you know, the smartest. A lot of times you can catch crooks because they, guess what? They're not so smart.
Not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Not the sharpest. Okay, good. That's your public service. Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
So here's a website for you called MyFlightForecast.com.
Okay.
And it's / turbulence forecast.
Oh, I hate turbulence.
So you know what's crazy is I have multiple friends that love turbulence.
What?
And I have no idea why.
What?
Because I do not like it.
It's terrifying.
But this website, you know, defines turbulence. You know, and I always think, you know, I used to be terrified of it, but I've gotten a lot better because, you know, pilots told me it's just like going down a bumpy road in a 4x4.
Right. You're safe. Planes hardly ever just fall out of the sky.
Exactly. I mean, ever. but this tells you where the turbulence is, where it's been reported by pilots. So let's say if you're about to get on a plane and you're worried, I mean, again, this could change instantly, but it will at least give you an idea.
Pilots, I've noticed, are very good about routing around turbulence. They really do their best.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to go through it.
Yeah.
They're like the passengers. Sometimes it's just unavoidable, and sometimes they can't see it.
Right.
So that's why
And I know we have a lot of pilots listening, so they can weigh in too. Does it bother pilots, or they just go, oh, isn't this fun? You'd think, like, if you're flying, you know what's going on. You go... it probably doesn't bother the pilots. I've seen flight attendants go white with terror.
Right.
So it could bother them a little bit.
I would assume it's each pilot's their own. I'm not a pilot, but I don't think I went into one of those, what do you call it, where they train. I'm spacing out.
Yeah, because I know you had a fear of flying. One of the reasons Johnny's become this great traveler is because he overcame his fear of flying.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went – actually, British Airways had me go out to one of their flight simulators in London.
Wow, cool.
And so you get to fly a plane, and then they hit the turbulence button. And the pilot that was training is like, we don't like turbulence either.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes it's unavoidable.
Right. Can't help it. It's like if you're a captain of a ship, you don't like to be in a storm, but these things happen.
Right. And by the way, if you are afraid to fly, British Airways does offer this to the general public as a fear of flying course to go in and test it out and learn all about it. But anyway, this site shows you where it is, where it's been reported. We flew yesterday from L.A. to Honolulu. The seatbelt sign did not go on once after
they've takeoff. Gotten very good at that. But then there are certain flights, like flying into Las Vegas, you often get turbulence when you come over the mountains.
The heat.
And there's just nothing you can do. You're just going to get a little bit. And they always say that, you know, it's all right. It'll be over soon.
Or when you're flying to Australia or down south, when you go over the equator, it's usually bumpy.
You know, that's right. I remember I've only been to Australia a couple of times, but in both times, there was this point where – and they just say, there's nothing we can do. It's going to happen. You know, go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's where Ambien is so helpful.
For sure.
Actually, you know, I think I go into some sort of shock because I fall asleep in turbulence. Like, it's like I go – because I don't want to –
I
think it's my body saying, okay – you don't want to be here for this. Go to sleep. And it works. I just fall asleep and then I wake up later.
Yeah. Well,
JohnnyJet.com is Johnny's website. Go there, sign up for his free travel newsletters where you get great travel deals. These are free. He also is on Twitter at JohnnyJet, on Instagram if you want to see where he's going next. It's a secret destination. And he'll be back next Saturday on
Aloha.
The show. Aloha, Johnny Jet. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Now, where you don't want turbulence is as you're landing.
Yes.
And I've seen videos of planes just going like, rock-a-bye, baby, coming in.
Oh, yeah, we had a rough landing a couple of weeks ago from San Francisco to New York. And I was sitting across from the flight attendant. I was in the exit row, and she was right across from me. And we started tilting, and she's like – and we landed. It was a hard landing. It was probably the hardest landing I ever had in my life. And she goes, at least we didn't do that right when we – at least the wing didn't tip. As long as the wing doesn't hit, you're okay.
Right. Wing hits and, you know, that's bad.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so safe. And even with turbulence, these planes are built to withstand a lot. And they do fine. You could fly into a hurricane. You wouldn't want to, but they do. I mean,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I heard once a pilot say, as long as a wing is still attached, you have nothing to worry about.
Because I don't like the implication that the wing might not.
Right, but they can flap, you know, I think as much as 30 yards.
Oh, I know. They go like that. Same thing with a boat. You know, they sell you on the cruise ships. Oh, don't worry. We can list to 50 degrees. In fact, in the sea trials, they do that. I asked them on the Anthem of the Seas. And when we were on the bridge, officers was there for the sea trials. He said, yeah. But I think they actually had a worse sea trial later.
They sure did.
Oh, Lordy.
They weren't ready for that one.
That captain was white. He was like,
I'm just so glad you weren't on that.
I'm so glad. We're going on the Regent Seven Seas in the fall. That's the one we're going on. Because I'm trying to try, I told you this, all the high-end cruise lines to figure out which one I'm going to go when I retire on the round-the-world trip.
And you did Seabourn. You didn't like Seabourn?
Love Seabourn. Seabourn. But I just,
okay, good. Because that's my favorite.
It's my favorite so far. I just feel like I should try them all.
Without a doubt.
There's Seabourn. The Windjammer
Crystal,
is the one
Crystal,
that. Crystal's supposed
Windstar,
to be very good.
Windstar.
That's one Dr. Mom likes.
I would not go on Windstar's yachts, the motor ones. I'd go on the sailboat ones because they're actually old Seabourn ships that Seabourn got rid of.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. Seabourn's building some new ships. In fact, I have the brochure right here, and it looks awesome. It looks so awesome. They've got a new ship coming online.
But the new Viking Ocean, that's not high end, but it's a beautiful ship.
I like high end. Well, I want a butler. butler. We got a butler on this one. Lisa says, do we have a butler? I said, yeah, we have a butler. Because you know what? The only reason she wants a butler, to make her coffee in the morning. Because otherwise, guess who does it?
Man,
I have to get up and
go to large.
I want a butler.
and when you did the riverboat, did you have the butler?
We tried to get the suites have butlers, and we couldn't get a suite.
Because they do a good job there.
They're nice. They wear little gray morning suits. And
big time.
Yeah. And they white gloves.
Yep.
They go, sir, would you like a cup of tea? I was very impressed. It was like having Jeeves. All right. Well, best to Natalie. Right. How's she feeling? Pretty well?
She's feeling great. We have, you know, this is one of her last trips. She's due in October. So she's supposed to stop in by August 1st.
Yeah, because cosmic rays are not good for the baby.
That's good to know. Well,
you don't want, seriously, because the atmosphere is not protecting you as much in these planes. And so, it's bad. Don't tell her that.
And she'll probably take the boat back.
Yeah, don't tell her that. Tell her it later. After the baby is wonderful.
We don't want to harm the baby, that's for sure.
No, that's right. All right, John. So somewhere exciting, right?
But her doctor knows, by the way.
No, you can fly. Look, stewardesses fly all the time.
Flight attendants, we call them now.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
See you
later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I always make that mistake. Flight attendants. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. Greg's on the line from Colorado. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Leo. I thought this is an interesting story. I'm doing a United Airlines flyer since I was 10 years old. I'm just about up to a million miles.
You are in the million mile club?
Just about.
Does the chief pilot come and give you a special platinum card and special wings?
Well, when I was working and flying more, I've had a few things happen. But I'm not 2 million miles yet, but I'm getting close.
Nice.
It's probably the end of next year. So here's the thing. First airplane ride I had was on a four-propeller San Francisco to Hawaii trip.
Oh, man. That was a long time ago. I remember those. The Clippers, right?
I don't remember the name, here's the thing. So, and then I started flying for work and for pleasure. And I was quite terrified of turbulence. Even the slightest amount would make me think, okay, what's coming next? You know, and all the fear thing. And one day I was driving. I used to work in Santa Rosa and live in Dillon Beach, close to there. And I was driving. I just got on 101, driving home after work. And I had this this, not hallucination, but just this recollection, the oddest thing of my mother's arm on my right arm on a chair or a seat somewhere. And she was making, my mother was in this recollection, making this noise like she made when she was really frightened.
How old are you, 10?
Yes, I was 10 then.
Okay.
But this is when, I was 40 or so when I had this recollection getting onto the ferry. Yeah, yeah. I talked to my dad, and I said, you know, I had this funny thing. And he said, oh, I know what that is. When we were flying to Hawaii, we went through some turbulence, and it scared the heck out of your mother. And she scared me. And here's the amazing thing. Once he told me that, Leo, I continued to fly, and my fear of turbulence had totally evaporated.
Interesting.
I mean, it's just like in a novel, you know, it's a story that seems like it's not true.
It just snapped. Something snapped.
Once I realized why I had that fear, it was because my mother was afraid.
I think those things happen because everybody I know, including Johnny Jett and myself and many people I know who've had fear of flying, at some point it just goes away. My son's that way. He's 21. He's terrified of flying. But I know at some point, I think the more you do it, at some point you just go, oh, yeah, well, and that's... Maybe you decide, hey, it's fate. I don't know what it is, but you just kind of give up fighting it, and it's fine.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was quite a relief because it was quite a problem.
You were really suffering. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't remember. So you say it was a four-prop plane.
Yeah.
Now, and what year was it about?
Well, let's see. You can figure it out because you're a smart guy. I'm 66, and I was 10 then. So.
So it wouldn't have been one of the Pan Am, very famous Pan Am clippers that flew to Hawaii.
Yeah, I know.
Those were amazing, like flying boats. And, you know, they didn't have very many passengers. They had like rooms on them. I would have loved to have gone on one of these, but those were in the 30s, I think.
In the distant past, yeah.
Distant past. Yeah. I think that's cool. So just that the completion of that memory and boom, it was over. Never again.
Yeah, it's just absolutely just. Well, I'm still afraid of dying. I mean, you know, I'm not.
If you weren't, that would be weird.
I mean, if it drops 10,000 feet in a few minutes, you know, that's going to concern me.
Hey, that's a fascinating psychological thing, but it makes sense. That memory was what was scaring you, and having that understanding.
Yeah.
Fixed it.
It's almost like a Sigmund Freud story where you know, you analyze your dreams.
I think that's the theory, right? Isn't that the theory of talk therapy is re-experiencing that, and you can experience it out. Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. Safe flying. All right, thank you. Take care. Eric, Louisiana, Leo Laporte, or is it L.A.? One or the other. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Eric.
Oh, God, I didn't think...
Come on over to the phone. It's you, Eric.
I apologize.
Eric in L.A., come on down.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Leo, I want to be able to protect a PDF, a larger file, but like 120 pages or so. And what I don't want people to do that I send it to is augment it or send it off to others.
Yes.
And there's so many applications and companies out there.
That's two different goals. Augment it means you want to send a file out that they can't modify. That's what they call a protected PDF. And every PDF creator, including, of course, Adobe Acrobat, will create a PDF that can't be modified. And that's for legal reasons. That's exactly what you want. If you're sending a contract out, you want to send it out and know it's returned as is with the signature. There's a second goal you had, which is that they can't send it to somebody else.
Yeah, okay, so I guess they conflict.
No, they don't conflict, but it's just a different technique.
Right, different request. Yeah. I guess if I was to have a choice, it'd be the latter. I would like it to stay where I send it and not be able to move it around.
It's difficult to ensure that unless you know you have the cooperation of the recipients.
Yeah.
So if the recipients can be trusted, you can encrypt the PDF with a password, give it to them, and then not fear that it somehow gets lost because only people with the password will be able to read it. But if you don't trust the recipients, even if you go through all sorts of technological things, there's nothing to stop them from putting the PDF on the screen, taking a picture with their camera phone, and posting that.
Right.
So that's impossible to stop.
Okay.
So if they can read it, they can disseminate it. You can only keep it from being disseminated with their cooperation, in other words.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. So if that's your goal, then just password protect it. You could even use a zip program and use a password in the, you know, when you create the zip, this squeezing program, and there are lots of those available for all platforms, and just say, specify a password. It will encrypt it. Only the people who know the password can read it. That would be sufficient to protect accidental loss.
Okay.
And then any distiller, you'll be able to check a box that says protected, because that's a big part of what PDFs do, which is if I'm sending a contract out, I don't want it to be surreptitiously modified and then sent back to me.
Right. Okay, two different worlds, but I understand them both now better. I appreciate your moments. Thank
you're very,
you.
You're very welcome. Adobe Acrobat will do that. It's an expensive product. If you do this a lot, it's probably the one to get. There are a lot of other third parties. I really like Foxit, F-O-X-I-T. They make similar PDF creators. They also offer protection. And I bet you, and I'm pretty sure this is the case, both Foxit, F-O-X-I-T, and Adobe will allow you to also password protect it so that it can, I'm sure of it, in fact, that so that only the intended recipients can read it. That protects you against the scenario where you email it. But as you know, email's like a postcard. Anybody along the way can read it, and if you know, and it goes through multiple servers. So if there's some malicious server halfway there, it goes, "Hey, I'd really like to know what Eric is sending out." Unless you password protect it, they could read it. But again, you can't. It's the same problem with music sharing files and stealing DVDs. At the point at which it becomes unencrypted and visible, a bad actor, including the recipient, can then share it. At the very least, just take a picture of the screen. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. More of your calls. And if you have questions about this, I'll talk about it too. Coming up when we come back. Our show today brought to you by Adobe Marketing Cloud and these amazing Adobe white papers. They've actually recorded some great white papers for your use. So you can listen to them. And by the way, recordings are great. Let me play them for you. If you just go to iTunes and search for Adobe Marketing Cloud White Papers or Adobe Audio White Papers for Marketing, that's probably the easiest. Adobe Audio White Papers for Marketing. White Papers. You're going to learn all sorts of stuff that I wish I knew. Things like, in fact, I'm listening to them now. Interaction, the differences in interaction metrics, engagement metrics, value metrics, so you can figure out how your creative is working, which part of your creative is working. Here's the iTunes link. Learning the difference or creating personalized content that's relevant to customers using predictive analytics. And listen, these are really well read by one of the, I can't remember his name, but this guy is really good. Just search Audio White Papers for Marketing on iTunes today. You'll learn how to create a 360-degree view of each customer, no matter how they interact or where they interact with your brand. A whole lot more. There are 8 of them to date and more to come, I'm sure.
Adobe presents From Mobile Analytics to Mobile First, using analytics to improve your mobile maturity. Become
the nice
mobile
thing is
first.
You can listen to these in your car and learn. And they're short, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. They're great.
Presents the new content frontier.
Audio White Papers for Marketing. Search iTunes for Audio White Papers for Marketing or just go to adobe.com and find out more. A great way to learn while you listen. We thank Adobe Marketing Cloud for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Well, hey, how are you today, Leo Laporte? Here, and I'm the Tech Guy. Perhaps you stumbled upon this show by accident. I think you have. The gardening show is just a little to the left. The home improvement show a little to the right, and up the dial a little bit, the money show. But this is the show. This is the show you want to listen to. First of all, we're talking about stuff that matters. It's going to change the world. The internet, virtual reality, smartphones. We're talking about important stuff. But at the same time, we're also talking about toys, like virtual reality gaming and, the internet, and it's all the same. It's fun and it's useful. You see, how many things are like that? And nobody dies, which is nice. And it's not politics most of the time. Although sometimes politics and tech kind of get mishmashed together. But most of the time, we're just talking about toys, but important toys. You want to join the conversation? Here's how you do it. You go to your phone and call 8888-ASK-LEO. Now, that's toll-free in the U.S. or Canada. We're on more than 200 stations nationwide, so wherever you're listening, you can use that. Now, if you're listening on the internet, though, and you're outside of those countries, you can still call us. Just use Skype out to that number, plus 1-888-827-5536. And because it's a toll-free number, it shouldn't cost you anything. And we do get calls from all over the world. It's kind of cool, kind of fun. 8888-ASK-LEO. We also have a website. Very useful, very handy, because everything I talk about, all the links, all the recommendations are there, along with audio and video from every show. And that's free. That's open. There's no sign up. And that's techguylabs.com. You can also comment there if you have a differing opinion or a suggestion or an addition you'd like to make, something you say, oh, I know what this guy or that gal should try. And I get, you know, I got emails sometimes. I got a tweet yesterday from somebody who said, oh, the woman who was going to get her first smartphone, she should get a BlackBerry Priv. Could you give me your number? I said, no, just go to techguylabs.com and find that call, and you can add your thoughts there. That's the best way to do it. That way everybody gets to see it. Techguylabs.com. Now, let's go on to Gary in Laughlin, Nevada. Hello, Gary. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. I picked up a New Balance GPS watch, kind of secondhand. Wanted to see if I could pick your brain to get a charger for it.
I'm not super up to date on these. New Balance, of course, makes sneakers. It's a runner's watch.
Correct.
I don't even know if they're still in this business. This is a very competitive business, and I'm sure New Balance, because they said, well, we have a lot of runners. I bet we could get some people to buy this watch. I don't know if they still sell it, though.
Okay.
Let me look, if I can, on the internet and see what it looks like. It's the Life Trainer Sync New Balance. It's nbmonitors.com. So they may sell. Unfortunately, a lot of times when they do this, they do can still sell these, by the way. They use proprietary connectors, which means you'd have to get a second charger from the company. I'm going to see if I can figure out. Does it have what looks like a standard USB port on it?
No, it doesn't. It actually has four real small connections.
Right. Those are what we call pogo pins.
Okay.
And that means it's a proprietary charger, which would have a matching four pins that would hit those dots. What I think you need to do is find out the exact model number. Either go on eBay. You may find people on eBay who are selling the chargers or the chargers and the watches for a good price. It's a lot of times that's what happens. There's quite a big secondary market on technology gadgets. Or go to the New Balance page, which is nbmonitors.com, and I'm sure they'll sell additional chargers, because that's a very common problem. People lose these all the time. But yeah, it's not, if it's not a standard USB port, like the kind you see on your phone, that means those four pins, those are called pogo pins, and there is no standard for how those pogo pins match.
Yeah, I saw a frequently asked questions, and they said, oh, yeah, the Garmin will fit it. Ordered that. No.
It had you tried it. Yeah.
Yeah, I retried it. It had two pins, not four.
Yep. See, there you go. And, you know, I wish companies wouldn't do this. There's no need to do it. They may have some specialized application that needs those pins. But Apple does this. It's a way to make money, frankly. We were talking at the beginning of the show about Apple dumping the headphone port. You know, I'm a fan of standards, a big fan, and I think all users should be. Standards are good for users because it means you don't have to go to any one company to get a compatible charger. A standard that's been around for probably, 50 years, 100 years, is the headphone jack. There's two sizes. There's the big phono jack, and then there's the mini jack. All phones up to now have mini jacks, which means headphones from almost anybody will work with those. And that's good, right? Gives you a choice, gives you a wide open marketplace. But Apple... Apple, you know, Apple, oh, I got my eye on you. They don't like open. They don't like standards. They like proprietary. And now Apple will say, well, it's not just, it's not because we want to make money. It's because we feel that we are doing it better and righter than those other guys. And we do so much with the Lightning adapter. And the headphone adapter does so little. And I don't know, they have some sort of rationalization. I have to think it really has more to do with selling more equipment with an Apple logo on it than it does serving their customers. So, you know, and New Balance has done it. Every laptop manufacturer does it. There's hope. There's a new connector, that a USB compatible connector called Type-C, that we're starting to see. Apple even used it on their MacBook, and more phones are doing it. Google does it on its Nexus phones. I just got the OnePlus 3. I'll give you a review of that later on, by the way. I really like this phone. Type-C connector. More and more companies are doing that. And in theory, by the way, a Type-C connector does have digital audio on it. You wouldn't need a headphone jack. You could, just like with an iPhone, abandon the headphone jack and just have some specialized headphones that use the Type-C connector, or a dongle that allows you to use your regular headphones. I guess that's the route Apple's taking. They'll have a Lightning-connected headphone. They already make one. Beats already makes one. And other companies do. But it'll be expensive. And it bugs me. It is not consumer-friendly. There's a reason for standards. And, you know, somebody, John Gruber, who's the Apple fanboy slash blogger, is defending Apple as usual. He says, well, look, Apple took the floppy disk out of the iMac. That was a good thing. They were the first to do it, but everybody followed suit eventually. But yeah, because this floppy disk had been replaced by much better, much faster, much more effective storage technologies, including USB, USB keys, and CD-ROMs. And so it made sense. It's not that there's a better, more effective technology for the headphone jack. It's great. It works. No reason to replace it. It's possible it's a bogus rumor. Although as we get closer to September, when Apple will announce a new iPhone, these rumors start to gain some weight, because they're almost certainly manufacturing them now in China. Whatever that phone is going to be. So we're going to start seeing more and more rumors about at least the physical attributes of the phone. In fact, we have. Because you don't make 100 million phones in a week. You got to start early if you're going to ship enough phones by Christmas. 8888-ASK-LEO. So I'm sorry to say, this is another case with this New Balance trainer. This is a specialized adapter, which means you have to either go to New Balance or find somebody selling a used one. I would get one that's specific for that model. They may even have different connectors for different models. You want to get one that's for that model. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. And now Laura in San Diego, California. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Leo. I have a little bit to add to the flying. I was 11 years or younger, flying with my parents, sitting in a window seat looking out, and I saw lightning strike the wing.
Yikes!
Yeah, that was fun.
And you survived to tell the tale.
Yes, I did. You're
not a ghost.
Nope. I'm here.
Worst flying experience I ever had was with my two kids when they were about that age.
Really?
Yeah, and they took it pretty well. They started joking around. And they started at one point. Henry shook Abby's hand. He was I think 7 or 8, and she was 10. And said, "Well, it's been nice knowing you, Abby." We couldn't even land. They started to come in, and they touch and go. They pulled back up, and
wow.
And I was very proud of my kids, because I probably they didn't really know what was going on, but I was terrified. And as a parent, you want to hold it together. Oh, this is normal. This is fine. It's okay. Just hold my hand a little bit.
What happened? Was it lightning or?
No, I think it was just a storm. We were flying into Providence, Rhode Island. It was fine.
Wow.
It was fine. And I have to ask them. They're 21 and 24 now. I don't know if they have any memories of it. I should ask them. Do you remember saying goodbye to your sister, that thinking you were going to die in a plane crash? Could be they have traumas that they haven't uncovered yet. I'll have to ask them.
Unresolved.
What can I do for you?
I currently have a Mac computer that I bought in December of 2007.
Okay. It's nine years old. Okay.
I think it's in the process of dying.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lifespan is for them.
Well, here's what goes bad is the moving parts go bad. So the chips will go probably 100 years. It's the hard drives that start going. And remember, though, that in that period of time, in a nine-year period of time, technology moves fast ahead, and modern processors are much, much faster. Modern hard drivers are much, much faster. And more importantly, Apple wants to move you into a newer computer, so they stop supporting the older computers with operating systems. So you can't, for instance, run the newest operating systems on that old iMac.
Well, I'm currently looking at the 27-inch iMac with Retina display.
It's the 5K. It's a beaut.
Is it?
Oh, my goodness. It's easily the best computer Apple makes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just a simple user, but I don't like, I guess as a computer ages, it slows down and you need more memory.
It does. You may, yeah. Now, it's hard with an iMac to replace the hard drive. I wouldn't do it yourself, but you could bring it in and say, hey, could you put a faster, better hard drive in here? And you might find, especially if you wipe the drive and kind of reinstall everything, that it runs very well.
Oh, heck no.
I hate to discourage anybody from buying a new computer. I think let me tell you, that 27-inch 5K iMac is a work of art. It is stunning. It's gorgeous.
Well, I'm probably going overkill, but I'm looking at doing the 4 gigahertz, the 32 gigs of memory, the 1 terabyte of flash.
Yeah, that's overkill.
It's overkill.
Yeah. What I would say, but what you know, if you can afford it, why not? I would say 16 gigs of memory is plenty.
Okay.
You don't really need a 4 gig processor. What I would probably look at is, but at the same time, I don't want you to get at home and say, well, this is not as Leo talked me into a worse computer. So get what you want.
Okay.
But here's something I would absolutely say is get a solid state drive. So
isn't that the terabyte flash storage?
It's not. Yes, flash. It's not the Fusion drive. That's something else Apple sells. It's slower.
I don't want Fusion. I want the largest flash drive.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
If it doesn't move, that means that computer will last longer.
It will. Yeah, there are other problems with flash drives, but yes, there are no moving parts in that computer at all, except there's a fan, but big deal.
What are the problems with flash drives?
They work so differently than the spinning drives. It's almost a different thing. But what happens with flash drives is they eventually start to wear. Now, what we've seen is modern flash drives, they're what we call over-provisioned. It says it's a terabyte. It's actually bigger. It's about 10 to 20% bigger, so that when cells of memory die, they can easily swap new ones in. So what we're finding with solid-state drives is they, in fact, last as long, if not longer, than spinning drives. And you're right. They're not prone to any of the failures that can happen, even in just a few months with a spinning drive, the physical failures. So flash drives are the biggest selling point is they're super fast. I mean, they're so much faster than a spinning drive. The biggest negative is the cost. As you probably realize, they're considerably more expensive than a comparably sized spinning drive. One way to go, I don't know if the Mac actually offers it. This is what the Fusion was kind of aimed at, was have a boot drive that's your solid-state drive that has your applications and your operating system on it. And 128 to 256 gigs would be plenty for that. And then have a larger spinning drive for your data. But if you can afford it, you're going platinum plan. A terabyte SSD is a wonderful thing. You still need to back up, you know. But in my opinion, they are more reliable. And that is going to be a screamer of a machine. You're going to be.
Do you think I'll get longer than a 9 year lifespan?
Well, and that's one of the advantages of doing what you're doing. There's no such thing as true future proofing, but you're doing the best you can by buying the top of the line stuff today. You're giving yourself more years. I see no reason why that computer shouldn't work perfectly 10 years from now. The screen. You know, but no, I, you know what? 10 years from now, that thing should be exactly as good as it is today.
Great. I'm an old bat. I don't have that much time left.
I know what you mean. I every time I buy something now, I'm thinking, is this my last car? Is this my last computer? At some point, it is, right? And I think this might be. This is going to give you some a good life span. The other thing that's happened is processors are not getting faster. We're kind of at peak performance at this point. And so what you're not going to see is the same thing you saw with that nine-year-old computer, which is that software outpaces the hardware's capability. I think we are now really pretty maxed out. It's going to take a whole different generation of stuff down the line. I think, yes. If you can afford it, go for it. We're talking about $3,000 here.
Yeah.
It's not a cheap computer, but it will last you 10 years. And if you amortize that, it's only $300 a year. That's not bad.
Right. Right.
If you use it a lot, that screen alone is worth it.
Yes.
It is beautiful. It feels like you're looking at the real thing. And for photography, it's amazing.
And I won't have to hunch over my desk to look.
No, and size,
lean back.
27 inches is really what you should have. People buy screens that are too small. I use 3 27-inch screens on my home system. And actually, I want more. I want a 34-inch screen. Because the more real estate means you can put more stuff on the screen and be more productive. And yes, you don't have to hunch over. You will really like this screen. It is the most beautiful display I've ever seen.
Wow. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, enjoy your new toy.
Thank you.
I was going to talk you down, but hey, far be it from me to talk you out of a new computer. That's a fun thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That guy right there, that's Chris Marquardt. He's the photo guy. Joins us every week to talk about the ins and outs of digital photography. You'll find him at discoverthetopfloor.com. Does a great photography podcast called Tips from the Top Floor, which has been around. You're in your 10th year now, yeah? Or 11th?
11.
Wow.
11.
Wow.
April 2005.
You're no pod fader.
Well, I did. This is not my only podcast, and I think one or two of them did fade over time.
Oh,
but
that's normal. I have plenty of shows I don't do anymore.
True.
But there's something about podcasting. I'm finally feel like people have discovered it, and I'm thrilled. I mean, you and I have been doing this. I met you at a podcast convention.
Oh, if it weren't for the podcast, nothing in the last 10 years of my life would have happened this way. I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't be on the show right now.
Yeah.
It is. It's a wonderful medium.
It is. It is. Yeah. If you love radio, you'll love podcasts, I think. So what do you want to talk about today, Chris?
I want to talk about focus. Now, when you pick up your camera, the camera will choose the focus. It will pretty much take a decision for you. And, it's usually a good decision. I mean, let's face it, most of the photos have what you want in focus. So when you shoot pictures of people, most modern cameras will probably focus on people's faces because that might be the thing you want to look at. But then there are these other shots that don't have the focus where you want it. Now let's quickly talk about why focus is important in a picture. What do you think? What do you think, Leo?
Well,
focus.
Of course, the glib answer would be because then you can see what you're taking a picture of.
Definitely true.
Let me think about this because not every part of a lot of the pictures I take, the thing in focus is the thing I want you to see, and sometimes the stuff I don't care about or I don't want you to spend a lot of time looking at is out of focus. So focus is a way of directing attention, for one thing.
Exactly. That is pretty much spot on. Attention is, when you take a picture, it's your job to guide the attention of the viewer. People who look at your picture, if you have something in the picture that is grabbing attention but shouldn't, then the photo won't be as strong and it won't be as intense as it could be if it's clear what the photo is about. And focus is one of the ways to help make clear what the photo is about. Just imagine shooting a portrait and the focus is on the ears instead of the eyes. Now, we as human beings, we want to look other human beings in the eyes. And if where you want to look, even if it's in the photo, if where you want to look is not in focus, that adds a lot of tension to the picture. So focus is really important to help the viewer kind of understand what you want them to look at in the picture.
That's kind of the problem with small aperture cameras like your camera phone or an inexpensive point and shoot is they tend to make everything in focus. And while that's in one way good because the photographer, you know, if you're not, you're not a good photographer, at least your picture's in focus, but it doesn't give you much chance to direct the viewer's attention. You know, everything's
and
in
it,
focus.
And it might emphasize things in the background that, right. that are just not as important or not as special in the picture. But of course, that also kind of forces you to be a better photographer with a smartphone because you might just have to move around your subject and look at it from another side just to get rid of that ugly thing in the background right. that will take all the attention. Right. So it is kind of, it's a good training tool. Let's put it that way. But of course, it also kind of forces you to think about what is your subject in the picture. Because believe it or not, a lot of people I see picking up their cameras and they don't really think about what they want to shoot or they don't really think how that interacts with the rest of the picture. And at the moment you understand that focus is really an important tool, you have to also think about what is your subject. And photos with just one subject work a lot better than photos that have like 15 subjects in
yes.
them.
Yeah.
So next question is how much focus? I mean, focus, you get to influence the depth of field in your picture, the amount of in focus of your picture, and that is you can influence that easier with a camera with a bigger sensor like a Micro Four Thirds or even an APS-C or a full frame DSLR or something along those lines. But you get to influence that by a few things: the distance and the aperture and the focal length you're shooting at. So it's always a question: how much focus? I mean, have you seen portraits that have almost no focus at all, where the focus is right on the iris, but not on the ears and not on the nose?
Yeah, if you use a really wide open, fast lens, which I often like to, sometimes it happens. It's a little creepy sometimes because it's...
But for some people, that looks creepy because they want to see more of that face.
Right.
They only... I mean, if you really go to the extremes... You can, with these kind of lenses and the way you shoot, you can actually get the iris in focus, but the eyelashes out of focus. It's that shallow depth of field that you can get, and that can be kind of creepy. So it's a good idea to learn to influence the focus and kind of set it to something that works for most people, if that's your intention. And sometimes the camera also gets it wrong. The camera might not... choose the right thing, especially if there are no people or things that it can recognize in the photo. Just imagine you're shooting through something and something's behind. Let's say you're shooting through trees and there's something standing behind those trees and you want that in focus. The camera will often focus on the thing that's closer. So you might get the trees in focus, but not what's standing behind them. And that's why it's a good idea to also learn to control the focus.
Mm.
And with old cameras, I mean, you would have manual focus. You would have the ring to rotate. And with more modern cameras, you could, for example, choose the focus point because the camera has different points that it focuses at. And instead of allowing the camera to do an automatic choice there, you could control the focus point and just tell the camera, no, do not focus on this point, focus there.
I have to admit, I like my manual focus cameras because even though it's a lot more work, at least I know I'm focusing on what I...
You're in full control.
I want to focus
and
on.
If you get it wrong, then you it's mess it up and not the camera. It's your own fault, yes.
I also find, and maybe this is my imagination, that with a good camera like my Leica M3, you can focus better hand by hand than an autofocus camera. Autofocus camera, sometimes the focus is a little soft. But
Leicas are kind of made for that.
Yeah.
I mean, when they design the cameras, and especially the lenses, they design them in a way that you can quickly and easily manually focus on where you need to. And have the
modern
focus.
Digital cameras sometimes have some really nice manual focusing features, like zoom. So I have a button on my Sony. I press a button and it magnifies the image like five times so I can really see what I'm focusing on. And it also has...
focus peaking.
Peaking, they call it. Yeah, where it highlights red where it's in focus. Yeah. And that's kind of cool, too, because that helps a little bit. But still, you want to, with your eyes, look and see, is this really focused? Anyway.
It's really cool to play with focus. It is. Focus is a fun thing to play with.
Well, and really what it comes down to, photography is a creative art, but it's also a technical art. And you need to learn the tool and learn it well so that it can be used as an expression of your art. And so there's two things you have to learn. I guess that's kind of why I like it. I like both. Yep. Chris Marquardt, he's an artist and a great photographer, and you can find out more at discoverthetopfloor.com. Don't forget, we're our photo assignment, technology. Take a picture illustrating the concept technology and put it on our Flickr group, the Tech Guy group at Flickr. We'll do our review in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Chris. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. The Tech Guy Podcast is brought to you by Atlassian. Actually, to be fair, all of TWIT is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian makes great software for keeping teams on the same page, for keeping productivity high, communication on, and I love it, and we use it. We first, I think, became aware of Atlassian when we were designing the new website, and the team in Austin used Jira, J-I-R-A, to keep track of the tasks, to divide them up among the designers, the programmers, the engineers, and then to keep it up to date with us so we knew how everything was going. If you use an agile methodology or a modified agile methodology, you probably already know about Jira, but if you don't, you really got to take a look at it. It is fantastic, and it really saves us time. We still use Jira. Maintaining the website, all the technical issues, the problems, our wish lists, they're all stored on Jira. And then when we started to do the mobile apps, same thing. In fact, for any project, Jira is awesome. Awesome. Great way to measure the effectiveness of your team, keep them all on the same page. We also use Confluence. Now, Confluence is a little different. It's designed to create and share content, organize results, and bring team members up to speed. We use it to document equipment and workflows. It's really valuable to us because, of course, how stuff works is critical when we get new employees and so forth. And so Confluence has been great for us. We all live on HipChat, and I think you probably know that. Everything we do is in HipChat, from show planning. Each show has its own HipChat. The producers and the talent are all in there, to planning the new studio, to our engineering, even the website. We all use HipChat like crazy. And if you're a coder, you'll love Bitbucket. Test, review, and manage code in real time. Atlassian, the best-in-class productivity tools for any team that wants to work and communicate better together. Check it out at Atlassian, Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. See how Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket give your team everything you need to organize, discuss, and most importantly, complete shared work. Atlassian, helping teams everywhere team up to create what's next. Try it free at Atlassian.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Back to the phones. Paul, Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Paul, Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo. Question for you. I'm a full-time editor, and right now, you know, some of the clients right now are saying you got to go 4K and all that kind of stuff. Exactly.
Well, you got to do what the clients want, I guess.
Exactly. And I'm curious, because I ended up buying the Mac Pro 12-core and have it as beefed out as I can, but I need a new graphics card.
Yeah. I am really disheartened by what Apple did with that Mac Pro. They ignored the original Mac Pro the previous Mac Pro for years. And it was a great design because it had slots. So you could, and in fact, I did upgrade my video card to my Mac Pro. It was limited because you had to buy a video card that was designed for a Mac for a couple of reasons. One, because the cabling had to match, but also because there had to be drivers that were appropriate. But I, you know, so that really narrows the market. But I was able to upgrade my old Mac Pro with new drives, faster drives, except drive bays. It was easy. Then they did this what we kind of call the trash can Mac, or the cylinder, which they announced at the end of 2013 and released in the spring of 2014. And while when it was released, it seemed pretty impressive, it wasn't state-of-the-art by any means. And now those dual ATI Radeon cards it shipped with 2 years later are out of date, and there is no upgrade path.
Wow.
Nor has Apple even upgraded the original. They haven't put new processors in. They haven't refreshed it at all. They've abandoned us.
Well, I bought the 12 core because I was going to live with the 8, but the 6 wasn't enough, so I bought the 12 and went ahead and beefed it up as much as I can, SSD, 64 gig of RAM, and all that.
You spent probably $6,000 on that computer.
I did, and I know there's a lot of new graphics cards out there, especially the gaming cards, that hardly any of them are for Mac.
Well, the good news is you can do 4K video on the Mac Pro you have.
Right.
But the bad news is...
it's a little bit smoother.
Yeah, the bad news is it's not upgradable. All you can do is fill up the RAM sockets and you're done. There is no... best place to go to find out is Otherworld Computing. You're probably familiar with it if you're a Mac guy. MacSales.com. They're the best aftermarket company for adding to your existing Macs, and I don't think there's anything you can do for an old Mac Pro. I don't think there's new graphics cards or anything. So
I've seen out there, there's new gaming cards from NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. NVIDIA has just released the Pascal platform. Less expensive, more cores, faster. It's awesome, and everybody on the PC side's going crazy.
Can you reflash the BIOS on that, or is that kind of treading in dangerous
water? No, you can't. You cannot use it.
Okay.
It's not a standard slot even on the Mac Pro.
Ah.
You're stuck, as I am. I also bought a Mac Pro, and I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed.
I knew you jumped ship to Mac to PC for all your TV side.
That's why we did that. Yeah, we were using the old cheese grater Mac, and we were really concerned. We didn't see a good upgrade path for the Mac Pro. I think we'd actually made the choice before the Mac Pro came out, but it didn't change our minds. We bought Dell Precision workstations, maxed them out with video cards and so forth. Now, we don't do 4K. We don't do 1080p. We do 720p. So we don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, you've got to, you're doing video editing. You got to keep up with what your clients expect. The good news is nowadays you can do 4K. There's a 4K workflow. 4K is tough. You probably went through this when we went to HD. It took a lot of process. In the early days of 1080p, you couldn't really process it. Everything stuttered and took a long time to render. And then pretty soon we caught up.
Got tired of looking at everything at 1/8 quality.
I know. You make an edit list, basically, and say, well, I'll see you in a week, and render it. But nowadays, there is good 4K workflow. If you went to NAB this year, we saw lots of 4K choices. Everybody's going 4K. Certainly the movie industry went 4K. I guess my advice to you at this point is to bite the bullet. Okay, so they have an external dongle video accelerator at Otherworld Computing, MacSales.com, that greatly improves Apple remote access performance. Well, big deal. They have dongles. That's it. And that's basically what Apple's done, is said, you can't change the insides of this Mac Pro. You can attach stuff, which, by the way, you've got a beautiful design, but it doesn't matter because you have to hang so many things off of it. It looks like a spider.
Exactly.
It's very hard for me not to be upset at Apple. I'll be honest with you. And I don't think, I try to stay as balanced and positive as I can about the company. But a lot of pros in Hollywood are furious about what Apple did, not only to their hardware, but to Final Cut. And they've moved, as we did in our editing suites to Dell Precision Workstations and Premiere Pro.
I had to go Adobe because it's just the way everything plays well.
Right.
I mean, there's no other reason to do that. The Final Cut X, when it came out, was just a huge fill in the blank.
It was a kick in the pants, a little bit above the knee, a little below the waistband. And,
exactly.
And I'm very, very disappointed in Apple. I have to say, increasingly, they look like a company that is chasing a dollar, is not caring so much about its customers, and is trumpeting, how great they are, how much they care about customers in the face of obvious stupid choices, like abandoning a headphone jack, for instance. And it just makes me sad because Apple was the champion of the rest of us for so long.
And it seems like they're forgetting about us little people. Or the pros.
Well, the pros and the little people. Everybody.
Good stuff.
So they make beautiful hardware, but it's a fashion statement. Apple's become, and this I think this is a sad thing, in fact, is where it becomes more about how much you can spend, to get a $25,000 Apple wristwatch and less about the actual functionality of the technology. It's very disappointing. And they gloss it over with this, great caring corporate attitude, and we really love our users, and you watch these events and you think, wow, they really get it, but they don't. I can't tell you how disappointed I am with them. And so my suggestion in your business, if I were in your shoes, yeah, I'd move, as much as I hate Windows, that's the only option for you.
Oh, thanks, Leo.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. They abandoned enterprise. They abandoned business. They abandoned professionals, audio and video professionals, photographers. They've, in my opinion, abandoned schools by foisting highly expensive iPads on schools instead of functional, useful, inexpensive tools. They've become the iPhone company. And I don't think the future is that bright for them, to be honest with you.
So, no, me neither.
Yeah, it's sad because this was truly a great company that had a vision of doing something different and of being a real force for, innovation in technology. They've lost their way. So
yeah, makes me want to hug my MacBook Pro and just over the rainbow.
I still love my Macs. I'm sitting in front of one right now. I'm using my Mac Pro for is a Minecraft server. I put OS 10 server on it. It's a server. That's all I can do with it. I can't do anything else with it. So I think any professional in your business, I'm sure if you look at your colleagues, they're all moving to Windows.
About half.
Yeah. And the other half, are living in fool's paradise. they're going to switch too. I don't blame them. It's taken me a long time to get to this point. Apple has won such loyalty from us as Apple users because they made for so many decades. They made great stuff, and they really spearheaded the PC revolution in many ways. But when the time comes when a company no longer serves its clients, its customers. At some point, you have to realize it's just a company. I love Apple, but it doesn't love me back. It's just a company, and it's time to move on. Sorry. Bad news. And I know a lot of people disagree. A lot of people think, oh, no, it's coming back. It's coming back. And I would love to see that. I hope you're right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, that's the statement. Let's see what the fall brings from Apple. That's what we've been saying for years. But wait, let's see what they do this fall. Yeah, meanwhile, I've got RAW on almost all my Android devices and have had it for some time. Even this $400 OnePlus 3, which competes, by the way, very well against anything Apple's making. But it's $400. Does RAW. And actually, I'm getting some great images. Show you some of the OnePlus. This is the OnePlus 3. Show you some of my OnePlus 3 images. If I could find them. There they go. This one really, I think, shows off the HDR capability and the detail, the fine detail. And those
I shoot flowers because I'm trying to get saturated colors to see how it handles color. This is, of course, in bright light. I think this is a surprisingly good camera in a $400 phone. This is low light. I think there's a little shake in that. I think it has OIS, though. Very low light. That was practically dark. OnePlus 3 does not work on Verizon. It's GSM only, so it's T-Mobile and AT&T only in the U.S., but I'm really liking it. I am really liking it. My only issue is going to be battery life. Well, we'll see. I haven't had it long enough to know. Great fingerprint reader. The build quality is superb. I'd read some things that the screen was bad. Actually, this is a beautiful screen. Very snappy, very fast. This is Nova Launcher, of course. I don't use... it comes with its own OnePlus One launcher. I don't use that. Very fast. The hard drive is encrypted. The drive is encrypted. Storage is encrypted. Speaker's not bad. It's only got one speaker. I'm a street light choking on the heat. The world spins around while it's pretty good, actually. The people that I know will keep on rolling down. It's good enough for this. I would have no hesitation recommending this as a inexpensive but very high quality Android phone with practically a pure Google experience. It's really good. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, virtual reality headgear, anything with a chip in it. 888-ASCII-LEO is the number, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can Skype us. If you're in anywhere internationally, just use your Skype out to 888-827-5536, and it shouldn't cost you anything. Tanner's calling us now from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Chelmsford. Hey, Tanner. Uh-oh. Are you there, Tanner?
I'm here, Leo.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Listen, I just had a question for you. I'm into racing, right? I've been watching Formula One and NASCAR and everything. I just love these team sports.
It's a NASCAR weekend here in Northern California. We're all excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and it's a great track, too, where they're at.
Mm-hmm. I can never remember if it's called Infineon or Sears Point, or they keep changing the name on me. I think it's Infineon these days. So.
It is. Yeah. I think it is, too. They have changed the track many times.
Yeah. Well, good. What can I do for you?
So the question I had was that one of the series is called IndyCar. It's the same type of car that runs at Indianapolis 500.
Right.
And Verizon is the big sponsor of this particular series. And they have an application that you can load on, an iPad or a phone or any kind of device. But you have to have a mobile account. So here I am at home. I have Verizon BIOS, right? Which I know they're two. You know, we have the internet piece of Verizon, we have the wireless piece of Verizon. But yet, unless I have a mobile account with Verizon, I can't get their live.
Oh, that's frustrating. But of course, you know why they're doing that.
I do.
Yeah, so Verizon makes a deal. They do this with the NFL too. For a couple of years, last few years, you've been able to watch the NFL only if you're a Verizon mobile subscriber. The reason they don't do it with Fios is because Fios is also a cable company, a TV provider, and they have that's a big dog. And they
I thought you said Comcast or something.
Yeah, I'm barking too. but because they have deals with ESPN and other, CBS and other sports broadcasters, they don't want to jeopardize those relationships for their Fios product. So they made sure that, just because you're a Fios subscriber doesn't qualify you. They want to make sure that this is only for mobile users. And it's frustrating, but I don't know of any way around it. It's you literally have to be a Verizon customer to do this.
Well, so this started, right? The whole point was, and I was going to call you because I know you probably know the answer to this, but I tried to go in and review the app. And I tried to just give a, you know, a quick review on, hey, make sure you're a wireless customer because it won't work, you know, and just to stop a lot of people from downloading
it.
Yeah,
rightly so, yeah.
Well, Apple kept coming back and telling me my, you have to have a some kind of nickname, and it kept telling me no matter what I put in there, the nickname is no good. And I tried, I mean, I've tried dogs, I've tried... Frigorifics, I've tried.
Well, now remember, there are, I don't know what it is, more than 100 million Apple accounts out there. So just like getting a unique account on Facebook, all the good names are taken. Have you tried just like, you know, your name, you know, Tanner 12794341? I know you don't want it, but
now. I tried that. So my name is. Eliminators, right? It's not out there everywhere, and that's what's really kind of good about getting accounts is I get to pick pretty much.
I know, isn't that nice? Yeah, I feel sorry for John Doe. He's never going to get an account.
Gosh, I can't imagine.
I tell parents that right now. You know, the first thing you do when you get a new baby, you go on the internet and you check that name and see if the website's available.
Yes, and I'm sorry about the dogs.
Katie, I don't mind.
Hello, because she knows how much I watch you guys. And how much I've
she hears my voice. What's her? What kind of? What breed is she? Oh no!
I was saying,
come here, Katie. Come here, Katie. Come here. Good girl. Good girl. Sit.
Yeah.
Sit.
We have three labs.
Oh, you can't put labs down. They're just so sweet. They just, you can't stop them. Just gonna. They just want to lick you all over and be your best friend in the world. Yeah, I love labs.
I was just trying to understand that piece of it, and I didn't know whether...
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like something's gone wrong, which, you know, Apple... I don't mean this to be bash Apple Day, but Apple's not known for their abilities when it comes to network services.
I'm beginning to see that.
You don't have an Apple account?
It's not getting better. It's getting a little worse.
You must have an Apple account, right?
Of course, yes. I've got a ton of apps.
You can't use your Apple account email as your nickname. You have to create a unique nickname.
You do.
Uh-huh. And they won't let you do any, even the most obscure name that couldn't possibly be used by somebody. You can't use it.
Well, so I went to Steve Gibson's website and took his password.
Yeah. I mean, that's unique. Did that work?
Full 25 characters. I guess you can have a nickname with 30. So I tried the full 25. Came back. Oh, sorry, it had already been used.
Oh, it's broken.
It is.
It's broken. Yeah. No, that's so random. That's just a random 25-digit string. There's no way anybody else has that.
Oh, no way. Absolutely.
There's no chance. It's just literally no chance. So that means it's broken. Nice job, Apple.
All right. I knew you'd probably know about it.
I really don't want to become an Apple basher because I think that's as bad as being an Apple fanboy. I want to be even-handed about this, but it is not unusual for Apple to get network services wrong, and there's, you know, tomorrow it'll work.
Yep. No. I've been an Apple user for quite a while. Still got a 2008 Mac Pro, and, you know, the thing's running great.
I love them. I use Macs. That's my primary computer. I iPhone's great. I have an Apple Watch. I buy everything Apple. I have an iPad sitting right in front of me, the iPad Pro. But I'm just wondering if this company is losing its way.
I'm not going to say anything because I've got to think you're headed there. You never want to say something like that, but it happens. It's just a cyclical, right?
It happens to the best companies in the world. It happens to.
Correct.
There's nothing, and it's hard. It's hard to fight it. It's a very difficult thing to do, and only the very best companies have managed to fight it for very long. And even then, I mean, look, Apple was almost out of business in 1995 when they had fired Steve Jobs. Steve's gone off, did a little thing called Pixar, did a little thing called Next, and Apple was down to its last $100 million. They had several months operating money, and that was it. And they fired Gil Amelio, the guy who was running the company, to the ground. And they brought in Steve Jobs. And they had a second act, something most companies in the United States, in the world, in the history of economics, do not get a second act. They had a second act. I think the only question is, are they going to have a third act? And things can happen. I mean, Steve was a flawed individual, but I still think the world of him because he did exactly what needed to be done. He went into Apple and he cut dozens of products. He told the clone makers, Apple at the time was allowing other companies to make Apple computers, Macintosh computers. He cut them off. He said, no, only Apple will make Macintosh computers. He had a very strong, clear vision and took that company 3 months away from bankruptcy and made it the most valuable company in the world. Got to give the guy credit. And he picked, I think, a very good successor in Tim Cook, who's the current CEO of Apple. I don't think it's a flaw in Tim Cook's makeup. I think you nailed it. I think it's hard, and it's especially hard in technology to have continue to hit home runs. At some point, every slugger has to retire. It makes me sad because I think Apple, if it weren't for Apple, there's a lot that would be very different in this world. Imagine a world without the iPhone. 8888-ASK-LEO. Try tomorrow. It'll probably work. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte. Do-do-do-do-do. The tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website, techguylabs.com. And on we go. The next call comes from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul. Leo Laporte here. Did I push the button?
Wrong button.
I pushed the wrong button. I don't want to mess things up.
Put it on hold.
Yeah, so easy for you to say. hung up on him. Did I hang up on him?
That one's fine.
Okay. Paul, are you there? No. Okay, wait a minute. Now don't. Okay, don't tell me how to do this. There. Hi, Paul.
Hi, I heard a gong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard a gong, too. I think that's it's life telling me it's time for me to retire, I think is what that is.
No. Now, I'm a retired music teacher, and I'm sitting here with two little puppies sitting on my lap or next to me. But one of the things I do in my free time is I go out and make presentations. One of them is how to retire.
I need your presentation, although I don't have actually what I need is how to retire. Like, if you can't afford to retire, how do you stop working?
Yeah, that's actually the problem. A lot of people don't actually know how to retire.
Yeah, I'll be working to the day I drop, I think. But I like what I do. It's not exactly work. I just sit here talk.
We love it, what you're doing.
I'm but having
anyways.
A good time.
But the reason I need you is I bought the iPad Pro. I love it.
Isn't it great? But yeah.
It's wonderful, but
Do you use it for music? I'm curious.
Well, no, I don't actually, except for iTunes. But I'm using it for presentation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure.
Plug it in, and I don't have my MacBook Pro. I'm not using a laptop anymore. So I have awesome computers at home, but here I am taking this thing out on the road and I'm still using PowerPoint. I'm not using Keynote.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know if you had any ideas about the remote to be able to make the slides go. Because if you're a good presenter, you don't really stand fixed. And you should be walking around and staring at the people and knowing your slides well enough to, click on them and, former music teachers, we get into the performance craft of
absolutely
too.
So if you have an iPhone, you can do it.
But it doesn't control the iPad. I'm not putting it on a computer.
Yeah. The iPhone or the Apple Watch both can control PowerPoint on your iPad.
Well, on the iPad or on the iPhone. I mean, I have the PowerPoint OneDrive, whatever they call that, in the cloud. And so I send my presentation up into the Microsoft cloud. And load it on my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
And of course, you want that so you can see your notes. You just don't want to put it on your phone. I assume you can do it on your phone and see your notes, but you better have good eyesight.
Yeah, no. I like doing it that way as well. Yeah.
And you're plugged into whatever person's digital projector it is, or the hotel room, or the place. But I guess I'm not coming up with the right thing. There's this place called SlideShark that wants us to download or upload our presentation to them, and then you run it. What controls the slides on the iPad? I mean, how does the iPad change the slides?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If it's on a computer, there are many apps to remote control a PowerPoint presentation on your computer.
Right, and some of them say something about Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And of course, you're in a ballroom in a hotel room, or you're in a conference center. You don't really have control over that Wi-Fi.
No, yeah. I think I remember Apple showing this on an Apple Watch. But again, what I'm afraid of is that, as you say, it might be for a computer, not for an iPad. So I'm looking for a control PowerPoint with iPad, and mostly I'm finding control PowerPoint from iPad.
So, I mean, I could put it on my iPhone if the notes aren't a big deal. And then I'm walking around like a crazy fool.
Yeah.
But I can't go very far because it's...
Well, if you had an Apple Watch, and I don't think this is a particularly compelling reason to spend $350 on an Apple Watch, but if you had an Apple Watch, you for sure can control with the Apple Watch a PowerPoint or Keynote presentation on your phone.
Right.
Because the watch is paired to the phone.
That's right.
And that way you don't have to worry about this Wi-Fi thing. I understand that part of the difficulty is... Well, how would you control the iPad
exactly
from another device without what you want is a Bluetooth clicker? Because
right.
You could pair.
Can I make some of those.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could. I think that there are clickers. They certainly make Bluetooth clickers, and a Bluetooth clicker would, if you could pair it with your iPad, which supports Bluetooth. Of course, it has to work for PowerPoint, and you know, and Microsoft has to support it, and so forth.
What they always keep trying to tell us is just go to Keynote, move everything into Keynote.
Yeah, I don't even know how you do it with Keynote. Can you do it with Keynote?
Well, I don't know that either.
See, the good news is Microsoft is all in on the iPad. They make PowerPoint, and they love the iPad. In fact, they made PowerPoint for the iPad, touch-first PowerPoint for the iPad, long before they made it for anything else. And they still haven't made it for Windows Phone. Use Keynote Remote on your iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch. So Keynote, you're right. Keynote would allow you to do that with Keynote Remote. The question is, does Microsoft make a PowerPoint remote? I bet they do. Anybody in the chat room got any suggestions?
Well, I can't believe I got Leo.
Ah,
he's a music teacher.
Ah, Satechi. Okay, here's Dr. Mom. Who is a physician who makes presentations all the time. She's a very popular speaker. Satechi makes a Bluetooth controller that will pair with an iPad as well as an iPhone, iPod Touch, Galaxy S3. I mean, it works with anything that is Bluetooth. The problem is, yes, it says it will work with Keynote, PowerPoint, Google Docs, and Prezi, but it says on the Mac or the PC. The good news is it's only $45. It is a Bluetooth controller.
So if it's a Bluetooth controller, if we can get it to run.
You could certainly pair it with, it says it works with Keynote on iOS. Ah, you have to put it in accessibility mode. And then it says Keynote, PowerPoint, etc. on Mac and PC. So I think the thing to do is to see if you can get Microsoft's PowerPoint to acknowledge clicks from accessibility mode. That's a clever little hack. The iClicker, for PowerPoint Lite. That's also, most of what I'm seeing is designed to control a computer. Here's iSpring's, how to play a PowerPoint presentation on an iPad. iSpring, that's the one you were talking about. They hosted. What we have to do is figure out if this Satechi, Satechi, it is a Bluetooth clicker that will pair to your iPad, and they say will work with a Keynote presentation. Now, the good news, it's easy to move a PowerPoint presentation to Keynote.
Right.
So maybe although
you may lose some of
with it. Truth is, you'd probably make it look better if you spent some time with the Keynote version.
Right.
I like the transitions better, frankly. And it isn't so hard. You're not going to lose any of the content. I'll put a link in the show notes to this Amazon page. $40. Satechi. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. iClicker. See, most of these devices that we're looking at let you control a PC from your iPad or Mac, from your iPad or your iPhone. What we want is something that will let you control the presentation on your iPad. All right, chat room's coming up with all sorts of solutions. Here's a link from Macworld Magazine. Presenting with the iPad. The problem is Keynote, Microsoft's Keynote for the iPad is new. This is a 2012 article. So we know how to do this, which is control Keynote remotely. What we want to do is we want something more up to date than this that will let us control PowerPoint. I'm betting that clicker would work. I know it's a lot of money to spend for something that may or may not work. Here's what I would do. I'd get the Satechi clicker. See if it works. See if you can get it working with PowerPoint. If you can't, you can always get it to work with Keynote. It will work, they say, with Keynote on iOS. And you could return it, Dr. Mom points out. That's right. Yeah, he doesn't have any problems showing the keynote or the PowerPoint presentation from his iPad. He wants to advance the slides without having to touch his iPad. He wants a remote, a clicker. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're still looking for a way to let me capsulize it, and then if you have a suggestion, you can call, you can get in the chat room, or you can go to the website techguylabs.com. Our caller is a music teacher. Gives lectures on his iPad. He has great PowerPoint slides on his iPad. He can present from the iPad. That's not the problem. But what he wants to do is be able to stand away from the iPad and use a clicker to advance the slides. You know, you could do it just with your finger, but he doesn't want to have to be tied to the iPad. He wants to walk around the stage and say, now, as you can see in the next slide, and click. And I think we have yet to find a perfect way to do this. If you're using Keynote, which is Apple's own program on iOS, we know for sure that this Bluetooth remote, and I'm sure there are many companies that make these, but Satechi is a good company, Satechi. They're selling it on Amazon for $45. This thing will work, because they say so, with Keynote on an iPad. I'm betting it'll work also with Microsoft PowerPoint on an iPad. So I would say your best bet is to get this clicker, see if it works. If it doesn't, you could, of course, return it. Amazon's real good about that. Or if it doesn't work with PowerPoint, convert your slides to Keynote, because we know it'll work with it. And somebody's saying, can't you do it with a Siri voice command? Maybe, but do you really want to be given a speech and go, hey, Siri, next slide? I don't think you want to do that. Although it'd be cool once in a while. I remember giving a speech. This is one of those things you really want to make sure it works. Before you're on stage, I remember I had a big speech. It was given to HBO in Florida, beautiful Palm Beach. We were at the Breakers, beautiful hotel. Big speech. And the night of the speech, Apple put out a new remote control, allowed you to control your Keynote slides on your Mac. That's where my slides were, with your iPhone. I thought, oh, this is the greatest. And I tried it out for the first time on stage, and it broke. It was very humiliating. I had to go stand next to my laptop. So always a good idea. Work these details out before you're giving your expensive speech. William in Virginia, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, William. Bump. That's the magic sound that says that William
You picked it up the wrong way again.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
hey, William. Hey. I pressed the next button. Hey, William, what's up?
Hey, long-time listener. I got an old dinosaur iPhone, the 3S, and I'm going to upgrade it, and I'm looking at the 6S or the 7 coming out. But one of my dilemmas is that iPod, to download music. And I was just wondering, with the podcast and everything, if I did go to like an Android phone, how would you put the podcast onto the phone there?
Good question. So, of course, moving from an iPod to an iPhone is easy. In fact, that's one of the reasons iPod sales have plummeted. Nobody's buying iPods. They got iPhones. So you know already how to do that. You could have them in iTunes. You could sync them up to the phone. It's an easy thing. If the music you purchased from the iTunes store, if you bought it some time ago, it had copy protection on it, and that you cannot play on an Android device. Anything you bought in the last few years is not copy protected and works just fine on an Android device. All the podcasts you have will work just fine on an Android device. So the key is getting it onto the Android device, and there's automated ways to do it, and there's manual ways to do it. One of the nice things about Android devices is that we plug in the USB cable and connect it to your computer. The Android device will look like a disk drive on your computer, and you can literally just drag any audio content, music or podcasts, into the music folder on your phone, and it'll show up in the music player on your phone.
So now, if I use like to the iTunes to download basically any podcast,
you can just copy it over. My suggestion is to stop using iTunes. Because if you're going to get an Android phone, you don't need iTunes anymore. iTunes really is designed for the iPhone, and there are better ways to do it. So there is a program called Double Twist that will synchronize anything that's in your iTunes account automatically to your Android phone, either by a cable or via Wi-Fi. But even better than that, and really the way people are doing it nowadays, is get a podcast app on your new phone. Eliminate the desktop computer entirely and start subscribe to podcasts on your phone. They'll download to your phone.
Well, I've noticed it, and maybe because I got an old phone, but I noticed that with iTunes, on the phone itself, certain things I subscribe to, I have to have a password. I'm not able to put the password.
Yeah, that's copy protected. And so that stuff will never work on Android. That's why you have to give it a password, because they put copy protection. The music industry mandated that, but they dropped that about 3 or 4 years ago. So that's only older stuff. Now, there are ways to get the copy protection out of it. The approved way to do it is to pay $25 to Apple for something they call iTunes Match. And what that will do is, it's kind of complicated. I'll put a link in the show notes to an article on iMore that explains all this. But the idea is you're going to match your entire music library from iTunes to the cloud via iTunes Match. And then the tricky part is, back it up, because the tricky part is now you're going to delete it from your desktop and restore it from the cloud using Match. What Match does is replaces all the copy-protected music with unprotected versions. It replaces all the 128-bit MP3s and AAC files, the low-quality ones, with high-quality 256-kilobit AACs. It replaces your music. But in order for that to happen, you have to delete it and then restore it, which feels risky. That's why you want to make a good backup before you do that. But I have to say, that's just for your old stuff. It's certainly podcasts are never copy protected, so that's not going to be an issue. That's for your old music, music you bought on iTunes before they finally got the idea there's no point in having copy protection. For podcasts going forward, get Pocket Casts or Dog Catcher. There are a lot of different programs. Pocket Cast is both on iOS and Android. Subscribe to the podcast on the phone. Download them on the phone. You can say only when I'm at home, only on Wi-Fi if you don't want to spend money on data, and it works great. And nowadays, and I know because I do a lot, I actually am a podcaster, most people stopped using iTunes. For a long time, iTunes was like 90% of our downloads came through iTunes. Now it's less than half. Almost everybody just does it on their phone. It's easy. So your copy-protected music will not. Your uncopy-protected music will, and there's lots of ways to do it, either manually or automatically. Podcasts, same thing. And going forward, I would suggest subscribing. Hope that helps. Taking a break. Come back. More calls as we wrap this show up right after this. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Last segment of the Tech Guy show as we wrap things up for this weekend. 8888 Ask Leo. I think we have enough calls to finish it out. As long as I don't press the wrong button here. Let me try. David in Carlsbad. No. See, something weird's happening. That's not me. I'm doing the right button.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening because that's the same button I always push. Hi, David. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hi. I always listen to your show on the weekend. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'm kind of computer illiterate, and I'm looking to buy a laptop and I was looking at the Dell Inspiron 15 5000 series.
Yeah, very nice.
And I was wondering what you thought of that or any other laptop.
Tell me what you want to do.
Well, I want to email. I want to write papers. I like the DVD. It's $6.99 in this ad here.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's one of the few laptops that still comes with a DVD player.
And it has an i7 processor.
Yeah, I think it's it sounds like a good, I've been very happy. I buy Dell equipment all the time.
Is the tech support in the United States?
No. So Dell used to have the best tech support in the business. That's when they could still sell you a computer for $3,000.
Does it matter? Like, it has also, like, AMD, Radeon.
That's why it's less expensive. But it's fine. No, that doesn't matter.
How do you learn this stuff? it says Windows 7. How long are they going to support that?
You must be buying it at a Costco or a big box store.
No, it was an insert in the newspaper.
Okay.
I'm one of the people that still read the newspaper.
You're one of the few, the proud. Is it from Dell directly, or is it being...
It says starting price $802.99, and then it says $699 below it.
So that's why it's an older laptop. They're clearing out the older ones. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And in fact, Windows 7 is fine. It's still current.
And it offers Windows 10 too.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing. If you have a Windows 7 computer, if you want, you can keep Windows 7. And but before July 29th, you'll have to decide whether you want Windows 10. And if you do, it's free.
Uh-huh.
So you get your choice, but the fact that it comes with Windows 7 tells you something, which is that this computer is not the current edition. It's a year old.
I don't need the latest.
You don't need it, exactly.
But for computer literacy, where should you go, like to community college? Or
I think, yes, yeah. There's books. There's, of course, lots of resources online. My suggestion is get the computer and start playing with it.
Okay.
And questions will come up. And when a question comes up, what you'll find is that the internet is a great resource. You can actually use Google, the search engine, to say, what does it mean when it says this? And there will be a page that answers that question.
Can you hook up a cell phone to the computer?
And this is something you got to keep in mind. You're going to want to get internet access.
Okay. And I had another issue about ordering tickets. There was this big event in Indio.
Uh-huh. I want to go, too. I know what you're talking about.
And I was on time for the ticket sale, but when I went on there, I got shut out.
Yeah, you know what's going on now, and this is really shameful.
Yeah.
But ticket resale companies
are
using robots to buy mass amounts of these tickets. The minute they're available, they beat out normal people because computers are faster than normal people.
Right.
And then you can't get a ticket, so you have to go to these ticket resale people and pay 2, 3, 4, 10, 100 times the face value.
It's the one with the Rolling Stones and the other band.
This concert is a very, very popular concert.
And then there was another time I tried to get Santana tickets, and I was on time, and it was all the best seats were already taken, and it was. I don't see how that's possible unless they're holding it back.
No, they're not holding it back. It's really a shameful thing that I think has to be corrected, which is these ticket brokers, these resale brokers, are using technologies to buy mass amounts before the second they go on sale.
I thought the squiggly little. Phrases that you have to
think that's what obviously the people who are Ticketmaster, people who are selling these direct, hate this. You know how I know about it is the Broadway show Hamilton, which is there's a huge premium. You cannot get seats. If you want to get a seat, you're going to spend 10 times the face value of the ticket, but you can't get tickets. And the star of the show, the creator of the show, Lin-Manuel Miranda, has said, this is why we want to sell direct to our customers. We can't because of these scumbag ticket brokers.
Right. I think
it's a form of scalping, and it should be illegal.
There's also a lawsuit with Ticketmaster, something recently.
Yeah, Ticketmaster, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you can imagine Ticketmaster must look at these tickets going out at face value and think, gosh, if we could just
shunt those to the side. We could sell them for $2,000 in a day or two.
Yeah.
And you got to think I don't know, and I'm not going to impugn Ticketmaster, although they have been sued many times over this.
Yeah.
Okay. So there ought to be a law, but there isn't. One of the reasons you need to be computer literate is you need to compete in a computer-dominated world.
That's what I'm doing. I took like a three-week class. It's just basic computer stuff, and
it's overwhelming. That's why get the computer. It's impossible without a computer.
Right.
You got to do it as you're learning it. Slow. Don't bite off too much. Learn one program. Figure it out. First program you should learn, your internet browser, browsing the internet. Keep listening to this show. That's all this show is about, is educating you in how to use technology, how it works, what's the underlying story. You can get books if you do well reading. That's a good choice. There's YouTube videos. You don't know yet because you don't have a computer, but YouTube is an amazing resource of free videos on every possible subject, not just technology. So the good news is the information's there, and of course your local community college will have classes too, but you got to start with a computer. I think that's the place to start. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cool Breeze is telling me in the chat room that the Satechi does work with PowerPoint on iOS. Yay. So there's your answer. I thank you for joining me. Thank you to Michael Cossio, who's been doing the honors here for Nathan Staten, who's on vacation. Thank you, Michael. Great job playing the discs. Thank you to Kim Schaffer, our phone ranger. Thanks to you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.